Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
He is Alan Stiles. I'm some local vagrant. And I'm here to remind you that for all of our best content, whenever that happens, head to YouTube, search 95.7 The Game, and click subscribe. You'll see all of our shows live, the best interviews like Bomani Jones and the one coming up with Rich Eisen, the most interesting segments, behind-the-scenes content from the Warriors, and more. Wonder what that is. It's all in the 95.7 The Game YouTube page, so subscribe. Well, it's almost halftime in Orlando. James Wiseman is 0 for 4, but he's playing more than Jalen Duren because Jalen Duren got into foul trouble. So they're obviously, and I don't want to dwell on this long, but he's gonna get the look that he never got here on a team that has nothing to play for except Victor Wembanyama.
Right. He's gonna get, I know people don't like the word fair, but he's gonna get a fair shake here.
I don't know if he'll get a fair shake. He'll get a shake.
Because
I don't know if there's any
shake.
there are unfair shakes and then there are two fair shakes. But it almost never happens to get exactly a chance.
It's still more than whatever he was.
Oh, no, it's more. But I don't know if he lasts until next year. It depends on where Detroit decides to put its emphasis, because they also have to pay a big chunk of salary next year. And they might decide, given that they have so many big guys, that maybe he's a luxury they don't have to afford.
Well, if they decide that they don't want to pay for James Wiseman, what is the worst case scenario for James Wiseman? Is the assumption somebody else will just pick him up?
No, so I don't know that the worst case scenario is probably Europe.
Well, I was going to say, what happens? Does anybody that picks him up will have to pay him that Warriors contract, right? It doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't go away.
So that's going to be the problem. It's not a matter of people not wanting to give him a shot. It's a matter of, We can't just see what we have. We can't give you that shot and pay you this kind of money.
But him getting paid and him getting played are two radically different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Detroit is in a position now where they are going to be young. They're young now and they're going to be younger.
Yeah. 'Cause
they're going to get a top four pick almost certainly. And whether it's Wembanyama or Scoot Mitchell or any of those guys,
right,
one of the Thompson twins, they're going to, that guy's going to get run too. So the question becomes whether Detroit sees something in Wiseman that makes them keep him, or maybe they pay him, not play him, maybe he ends up back in the G League, or maybe he goes to Europe. I mean, you know.
Wow.
I mean, it's just money to the Pistons if they have no interest in him.
Yeah.
If they have interest in him, you'll see it in the box score.
Well, speaking of the big men, though, they must not be incredibly happy with the big men they do have, because why even make the move for James Wiseman?
I think they want to see if he's got something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a no harm, no foul deal for them, because they had sort of soured on Sadiq Bey.
Right.
So this was a four-way trade in which everybody got rid of something they no longer had plans for. I mean, I don't think Atlanta, which is in enormous turmoil right now, had much use for Kevin Knox. I mean, Portland was pretty much done with Gary Payton.
Mm-hmm.
We know about Wiseman and Bay, you know. The only really weird part of it was the five draft choices.
Well, and speaking of GP2, you know, he had his first availability as a member of the Warriors, and he said that he was basically extremely surprised, right, that this ended up happening. He was shocked, just as shocked as everybody else. And look, I'm happy for him, Ray. I really am. But it is hard. I get it. This money thing is going to continue to come up with James Wiseman. But for the person that doesn't see that and is just looking at this from an opportunity perspective, it is somewhat of a... And of course, the Warriors assumed that GP2 would be able to play immediately. But it is turning out, in my opinion, to be a pretty bad trade, unless you're only looking at this from a transactional financial standpoint.
But the problem with this sport, more than any other, because it has a flexible cap,
mm-hmm,
but it still has a cap, is that the money does matter.
Right.
And in the case of the Warriors, the money to Wiseman mattered a lot. I think it hastened their impatience. They might have decided, boy, I don't think we can ever get mileage out of him.
Yeah.
And we won't know that, you know, unless, you know, they go out and they draft or find another big guy to say, this is a big guy we can use. But for the most part, you won't be able to separate Wiseman's potential or lack thereof from the tax. I mean, they are intertwined. So that when people go, the Warriors didn't give Wiseman a chance, it's not a matter of giving you a chance. It's these are the circumstances under which he was signed. And the Warriors agreed to pay him that money, but it doesn't bind them to him. You know, the money is going to get paid.
Yeah.
But in terms of use, that's an entirely different thing. And I think the one thing that most people have a hard time separating is Wiseman's potential from his lack of flashing any of it. And when you throw that into a pot with money, it conflates everything and makes none of this crystal clear. All you know is he was here and now he's not.
He was here, now he's not. He's got 4 rebounds, by the way, Ray, right now. So good for him.
Well, he's played 13 minutes, which is probably more important.
Right, and that's 13 minutes he wouldn't have gotten for the Warriors unless they blew somebody out or were getting blown out. And right now, it would most be the latter in terms of what GP2 can bring to the table. This might be a situation where, look, if the Warriors sneak into the playoffs and GP2 shows up and he's able to be the glove that he's been and the mitten that he's been and do things offensively and be in that dunker spot, then I will change how I feel about this deal. This could also go into next season. If next season he is a pivotal piece on this team, because we know chances are DiVincenzo will walk. Earlier we talked about bright spots. He is a bright spot, but it's hard. When I think of bright spots, it's something you can grow with, and a lot of people believe that he won't be back, specifically with GP2. I don't know that you need both of them. So if GP2 shows up and is the GP2 of, at that point, 2 years ago, next season, then I would applaud the Warriors for making that move. I don't know that when they initially made the move, it was, all right, well, hopefully he's able to help next year. It was, well, try to be an immediate help this year.
No, I think that the Warriors tried very hard to move Wiseman in more direct deals before this and couldn't get a bite because he had no resume.
Yeah.
And so when this came up, it became not a matter of matching talent for talent as much as it was matching problem for problem. The right. Warriors had a problem with Wiseman because he wasn't playing for them and he was going to cost a ton of money. Portland had a problem with Payton because he'd been injured and he wasn't happy there by all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't do the deal because Portland didn't want Wiseman. So they had to bring in other teams. And the only team that showed even remote interest, as far as anybody knows, is Detroit. So now that's a third team, but Detroit, you know, didn't want Payton either. So now you've got to involve a fourth team, and that means Atlanta. So it became an incredibly convoluted thing where it was largely teams trading problems, not problem players, not bad actors, but players they can't use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I personally, I'm curious because I know Sadiq Bey, he was coming off the bench and he was starting. I'll be honest with you, Ray. When I first saw that initial deal for James Wiseman for Sadiq Bey, straight up, when that first happened, I wasn't upset about it. I wasn't upset about it when I saw they went and get the 5 second round picks. Okay. And then it flips into GP2. I wasn't, even before we knew he wasn't injured or he was injured, I wasn't jumping for joy the same way a lot of Dub Nation is. I do think that a lot of it, look, and this isn't to take away anything from GP2 as a player, but I do think that a lot of people were very happy with the Warriors righting the wrong that they felt happened during the offseason. And I don't know how much of that was on the basketball court. Again, not trying to slight GP2 at all, but just for what this team needs. I don't know if there was a singular fix for this Warrior roster at the trade deadline. I don't know. And they still have until what, March 1st for the buyout? It doesn't seem like they're, I don't know that they're going to do anything for the buyout.
I haven't seen so many people lining up to tell you how illusory the buyout market is every year as I have this year.
Yeah.
Because people keep saying, well, there's got to be somebody out there. And most of the time, the people who've done the research tell you, no, there isn't. I mean, if somebody had a gift, somebody would have paid for it.
Yeah.
And the truth is, nobody seems very interested. I mean, Bob Myers flat out said that. And it's not in his best interest to say, oh, we're not even bothering to look.
Do you think the Kevin Love thing, and I don't know how much they even spoke. Well, Patrick Beverley came out and said, oh, it was between the Bulls and the Warriors. But we didn't hear anything, I mean, from the local media that the Warriors were interested in Patrick Beverley. You know how Patrick Beverley is. He has his own podcast now as well. Hashtag new media. Do we even know that Patrick Beverley and the Warriors spoke to one another?
Oh, I'd be willing to bet that, you know, Patrick Beverley's agent reached out to the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who initiated the phone call.
Right.
So, but all you have to do, you make a phone call. If it gets punched through to Bob Myers, you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Warriors took it seriously. I don't think they did. But it doesn't preclude the fact that there might have been words exchanged.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, because talking is such a vague term in this context.
Yeah, he's choosing between, and a very interesting Bulls team. I mean, I think if you're the Bulls, they might have sat there and said, well, everybody else is making moves. We know we're underperforming. Let's not sell. Let's see if maybe we can sneak into a plan because we do have a talented roster. The whole thing
But without Lonzo Ball,
without Lonzo
out for
Ball,
the rest of the year,
right.
All of a sudden, the exigency changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that they had an incredible desire for Patrick Beverley, but they had a hole and they had to fill it with a made guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Beverley, whatever else you want to say about him, is a made guy in this league.
He is. He is. He is. He is a character of the highest order. The Kevin Love thing that everybody was, oh, get Kevin Love. Do you think if you're going through, because to your point, okay, we went through this guy, could this guy help? Kevin Love, and I know he had a good season a couple years back. Do we think it was mostly the defensive part of this? Our defense is bad enough. I know Kevin Love can stretch the floor. We can't add another guy that can't play defense.
No, I don't think Warriors would have been Kevin Love's first choice anyway. They couldn't offer as much money as Miami. Mm-hmm. And Miami was offering him starting minutes.
Mm.
I mean, Warriors don't have either of those things.
Starting minutes is crazy. Well, I guess it's...
Well, but Miami needs bodies. And, I mean, this is not me figuring it out. This was Ira Winderman of the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel figuring it out like 10 days ago.
Well, because everybody comes out and says, oh, well, all these buyout guys, they're ring chasers. But it doesn't sound like Kevin Love was ring chasing, because I don't think Miami is in that tier of the Eastern Conference.
No, but they're going to win their division.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to finish in the top six, although they're going to be in a dogfight with the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they've at least got a puncher's chance of doing something. I mean, what was the alternative? Kevin Love playing for no one? There's no ring in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically at this point, when you're a buyout guy, you're going to shop for the best situation, which is usually money. But in this case, it was money and playing time. So the Warriors, I don't think, were ever a legitimate factor, even if they were interested, which I don't even know if they were. I think it was people saying, man, the Warriors should get Kevin Love. Well, people saying it doesn't make it true. In fact, all it basically means is you're listening to a gas bag.
Right. And chances are,
which is what the listeners are doing now.
And chances are it's not going to happen. I mean, at this point, I don't think the Warriors are going to make any more moves. It doesn't seem like they are, at least. So they're stuck with who they have. The good thing about it is, to this day, when they're all playing and you do look at it on paper, that's still pretty darn good. And if you look at what the Warriors have versus where they are in the standings, right? In the standings, they're ninth. But if you look at based on their best guys and, I guess, strength of team, if we were to break it down like that, the Warriors' strength of team, where would you put them? I would still put them in the top four.
I wouldn't, because at some point you are what your play says you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were healthy, they didn't defend well. When they've been hurt, they haven't defended well. That, to me, is such a fundamental part of who they are.
Yeah.
That having scorers, I mean, that's nice to have. Everybody should have some.
Right.
But if you're losing games 124 to 134, 124, your problem is not offensive. Your problem's on the defensive end. And they've been a mediocre to poor defensive team most of the year.
Yeah. I mean, they have. I would still say, and I know I sound like the people that I'm normally not on that side, but Draymond, that's another bright spot. Draymond, defensively and offensively, has been great this year. You got Draymond. You talked about who they had last year, who they lost, and who they gained. If you can get GP2 on the floor, you have a DiVincenzo, who I would call slightly above average defensively. You have Andrew Wiggins when he gets back. I do think that they have enough pieces to at least be average defensively and maybe above average for the stretch of a playoff run. Now, I don't know how much they're going to be able to do that to get into the playoffs.
That's the truth issue. They've been healthy at times this year, and they still haven't defended consistently.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you can't play those three guys 48 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have three guys who are really good defenders and two guys who aren't, you don't have a good defensive team because it's too easy to attack them. You know, the Warriors never really had an overt liability that they relied heavily on during the championship year.
Yeah. Well, and whether the Warriors figure it out this year or not, I am really curious to see what they do at that big man position, because I don't know how much longer you can go on with a 6'9 guy being your biggest guy. And we know they won the whole thing last year. Who knows what happens this year? But it seems as if I saw somebody, and I'm going to do it, Ray. This is from yesterday, so it doesn't count. Saw somebody on the Xfinity mobile text line. I did.
I can't hate you more than I'm sorry.
Look,
right now.
I gave you a good 2 hours, over 2 hours without it. And
don't try to worm your way out.
I know
of this.
It's too late.
You've made an enemy.
It's too late. And they said, well, the league had to catch up to the Warriors, basically saying that the Warriors invented this style of basketball. And I would argue, no, this style has evolved. These guys are hybrid bigs, wings that can shoot the basketball, that can handle the basketball, that can pass the basketball. And you have got, I think you said yesterday, how so many players on the floor can just do multiple things. We saw it with the Celtics, and that was the scariest thing with the Celtics when the Warriors went up against them. The Celtics just didn't have a Steph Curry, and Jason Tatum didn't play well, and the Warriors had a Steph Curry, and Steph Curry did play well. But the Warriors do suffer from guys on the floor. They have too many specialists. Jordan Poole is a scorer. Draymond, and I know he's been better offensively this year, really, his average is similar. I think he was at 7.4 last season. He's at 8 points this year. So even though it looks better, his average is actually still the same. So Draymond, defensive. Looney, defensive. I think if you're going to put Jordan Poole offensive, you have to put Steph offensive, even though he's better defensively. Andrew Wiggins, he's a guy that can do both. Klay Thompson, I would say he's a guy who could do both, but I don't know that he's defending at the highest level. These teams that are coming out now, they have so many two-way guys and these positionless basketball-type guys. That's where I think the Warriors are struggling, because the Warriors aren't getting killed on the boards by pure centers per se. They're getting killed on the boards by 6'10", 6'11", guys that are forwards, that are also shooting threes. So I don't know how much longer the Warriors can continue on this path. And for the argument that the Warriors started this, if you want to argue that the Warriors started this, that's fine. But we also have to admit that it's evolved. And the Warriors, although they won a championship last year, the league continues to evolve. And they have to evolve as well.
Well, you have to have the players to evolve with.
They got to make a move somewhere.
Well, but there's no move to make this. This is
not
this,
this season.
These
no,
are
I'm
the
not
cards
saying this season.
They have, and it's going to take a while to extricate themselves from some of the contracts, and they probably don't want to extricate themselves from the first two, you know, or really the third.
Yeah.
You know, Poole, I think, you know, let's put it this way, if somebody wanted to offer a ton for Poole, they might do that. They might regret it. But I think they'd listen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd listen to Curry. They can't. There's no option for Green, because that's his call, not theirs.
Right.
And they'd listen to Thompson talk. But for the most part, this is who they are for the foreseeable future. They've got one pick in the draft, and you know, depending on where it falls, it could either be somebody who can help right away, or it'll be somebody that doesn't see much time the first year. I mean, there is no easy path to changing the face of this team. They are who they are, and they play the way they play, and as they continue to age, they will play a little less effectively with every passing year, unless they are all Tom Brady.
You could make that argument about Steph.
I don't know if you can make that argument about any of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth is, you can't foretell somebody's health situation. I mean, and Curry, you know, he's out now, and he's out for an extended period. But I don't know if that's age or if that's just contact or whether it's a combination of the two.
Well, I think that's something in terms of Steph Curry and aging. When everybody hears the word aging, I know I do the same thing. The first thing I think about is, what does it look like when you're on the floor? And Steph Curry, when he is on the floor, to me, it doesn't look like he's aged. It doesn't look like he's really lost a step. He is still Steph Curry for the most part. But part of the aging that you don't always connect is the injury bug and being injured more often. And Steph has had an interesting path, because he was injured at the beginning of his career. He got through those ankle injuries. Now he's just getting older. I don't know if the injuries that... The interesting question is, the injuries that took him out this season? Do they take him out for the amount, the same period of time? I don't know. 4 years ago? I have no clue. I don't know. So they felt like freak accidents. The shoulder one specifically felt like a freak accident. This one with the knee, not so much. These things happen. So it's return time. I would assume what a lot of people say, when you're younger, you heal quicker. It's return time, and it's literally the ability to stay on the floor. So this thing might not end with Steph Curry just not making shots anymore. That guy's going to be able to make a three-pointer until it's his time. What it is how is your availability? How often can you stay on the floor? How long does it take for you to come back? That's the piece of this when, in terms of the aging core, that I think, I mean, even myself, I just skip over. It's just, well, he looks the same. Yeah, but he gets dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's lost chunks of most of the recent seasons.
Yeah.
2021, he didn't really, but last year he did. This year he is. 18, 19, 20. I mean, there are pieces of the season where he's out, and I don't know if that's age or whether it's just bad luck, but those start to accumulate.
They do.
So, I don't know what to tell you. Well, actually, I do know what to tell you. We're sponsored by 5-Hour Energy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
That's Alan Stiles. I'm someone else. And we are joined now by the NFL Network's shiningest light, the lovely, the talented, the elegant, Rich Eisen. Hello, my son.
What an introduction, Ray. It's filled with a lot of syllables and adjectives, and I appreciate them all.
I tried to give you as many vowels as I could manage.
I love it. I don't like buying them, so I appreciate taking them. Thank you.
So let's start with the most compelling news story. St. Louis Battlehawks playing tonight. Who you got?
I thought you were going with Aaron Rodgers' yurt, his Oregon yurt.
Oh, we'll get to that. But I want to lead with the story that people are literally riveted by.
What is that again?
I want to go with the story that people are riveted by, or riveted to.
And that is?
Oh, the XFL. Okay. Surely you must have an analysis for tonight's game.
My only analysis that I've seen of the XFL is I like that they let you hear completely what they're talking about with the review, and I like that they got rid of that awful rule that the NFL refuses to quit, fumbling through the end zone gives the ball to the defense as opposed to in the XFL, the offense gets it at the spot of the fumble. You didn't think I would really break down XFL nuance, did you, Ray?
I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed. Okay, let's go to the secondary story. Aaron Rodgers.
That is.
Performative, informative,
no.
Just noise?
I think he's truly someone who believes in clearing his mind or... absolutely believes what he is doing is helpful to his state of mind, and I more power to him. There's so many people who do that. I don't know many of them, but and he wants to share that this is what he does to get his mind ready. Great. And it's not like everybody needs to remember Brett Favre and what he did with the Packers. This is nothing compared to what... I know Favre didn't go on a show every week to speak his mind on topics outside of football also, and Favre didn't say, I'm going into some, darkness hut, a sky cave, whatever it's called in Oregon.
Dark room.
And I know it comes... And I know it comes across as... as a little bit out there, but it ain't Favre. Years telling the Packers, I don't know. One year he told, he told the night of the final game, I'm coming back. Another time he made it, he had a whole hoo-ha 45-minute chat with Mike Sherman, keeping the media waiting, and then came out and said, I don't know. And then one year he said, I'm out. And then after they turn to Rodgers, he says, I'm in. I'm coming back. And they're like, no, you're out. And come on, this is not that. This is not that at all. I mean, it's still February 23rd. The combine is next week. The Packers, new league year doesn't really begin until May 15th. So there's time. Let him clear his head. Let him figure it out. And in the meantime, we're all waiting and wondering, What is options? We know what his options are. Which one he's going to choose?
Well, and Rich, I mean, I'm just of the mindset. You see him on the Pat McAfee show, and I'm telling you, the smile that he has during that show, when he just looks happier doing that than anything else that I've seen him do on a football field for the last couple years, at least. When you talk about the options that Aaron Rodgers has, if you are a betting man, and even if you aren't, where do you think he ends up?
Staying put. I think he stays put. I think he stays in the spot where, he can finish and finish his career with just the one team and doesn't have to go somewhere else, learn a new way to work, a new system where he's loved by most fans. And he stays put, and it's all well and good where it finished up very strong. That's where I would think. I mean, his other options are to go to the AFC. I mean, the Green Bay Packers aren't going to send him to the NFC. Somewhere else in the NFC. Although he does have options to force his hand to wherever he wants to go. I can't imagine he'll be able to force his hand to San Francisco or something like that. But it's a crazy-ass league where I didn't see Davante Adams getting traded last year and Roger Staan. I didn't see Tyreek Hill going. I mean, last March was off the charts in terms of unpredictability, but I think he stays put.
You aptly put it as a crazy-ass league, but let me ask the second question in the quarterback festival, but let me ask it in reverse order. While Derek Carr is clearly leaving the Raiders, what do the Raiders do about that? Not about whether he goes or not. That's already been done. But who do they replace him with? I mean, who's going to get Davante Adams the ball, and who's going to hand it to Josh Jacobs? Where are they?
I don't know. I think that's the place where Jimmy Garoppolo winds up. But Daniel's system inside now. That's the guy who I think McDaniels trusts. That's the guy who, as we all know, the Patriots are grooming to replace Brady. That's the guy who is still young enough to give him 2-3 years while they potentially, you know, draft Will Levis. You're hearing that out of Kentucky as a rumor, 7th overall. I proffer to think that that's where he winds up. And because I don't know if again, I don't know if McDaniels and Rodgers are a mix. You know, you hear how McDaniels likes to do things his own way, his own Patriot 2.0 way, and Derek Carr certainly didn't fit in there. And I don't know if Rodgers is what McDaniels wants to have, certainly when he can have a drafted player of his own and a guy of his own to let the player be drafts marinate who can actually win football games for him this coming year.
I guess we're going to have to do this at some point, so I may as well just do it now. The 49ers have a quarterback who probably won't be ready for opening night. They have another one who missed all of last year with an injury. Is there a conceivable scenario in your mind where Kyle Shanahan has Brock Purdy, he has Trey Lance, but goes out and gets a more reliable third guy in case the worst case scenario happens again?
I mean, last year's Niners quarterback room and scenario is the wildest I can recall in my 20 years of doing this NFL Network thing. I mean, where Garoppolo basically says goodbye at the NFC Championship game and to the media, and then says, I'm getting surgery, which on the spot makes him untradeable. So he's still around as Lance clearly gets the gig because of the draft capital the Niners utilized to go get him. Camp starts, and Garoppolo isn't even on the depth chart. He's basically there as, you know, a hood ornament. They don't even give him a playbook. Then they realize, well, going in to camp with this kid they picked last in the draft, despite how good he does look, they can't really have him backing up Trey Lance, so they convince Garoppolo to stay. He does. Lance starts. Game two, he's out on a cart. Garoppolo then takes them on the same path that he took them the year before. Then he goes out on a cart. Then comes the kid that they didn't even want to trust to have backup Lance, because that's why they chose Garoppolo, and that kid damn near wins Rookie of the Year and then gets hurt in the NFC Championship game. I mean, it's wild. So I can't sit here and say there are no scenarios that work. That's a very long-winded way of saying I think it's Lance's job. Let's see when Purdy does go under the knife for his elbow, to see if he does have an opportunity to make training camp and make a competition out of it. I mean, I had Trey Lance on my show at the Super Bowl, and he said he invited the competition. He said he didn't want anything handed to him. I think that got a lot of a 49ers fans' attention appreciative attention. So I think it's Lance's job, and I think Purdy's going to be around there. But if his elbow's not good enough, then let's see who is still out there that would take the job.
Do the 49ers have enough depth at cart?
At what?
At cart. Since they used it so often this year.
But you got your boots on the ground there. I think you'd probably be more familiar with that. They used a lot of carts last year. You know, most carts in the division. DK Metcalf was second, I think, in the division using a cart, but for a different reason.
Rich, I am curious. You alluded to Trey Lance being on your show, and as you can imagine, it was huge here in the Bay Area, and obviously all the Niner fans out here and all across the nation and the world watched it. What were your initial thoughts on Trey Lance? You spoke about how he wants to compete, but what did you think about Trey Lance and the way he carries himself? So much is said about the QB1 position. What were your thoughts on Trey Lance after meeting with him?
Delightful. Delightful. And also in a better mindset than when I had him on the Super Bowl week last year. He zoomed in to the show, actually, as opposed to show up in person. And, you know, he was still kind of what appeared to be shell-shocked by his rookie season going the way it did. This time around, he struck me as much more sure of himself, much more, lighthearted. And when he said, you know, I don't want anything handed to me, because let's be honest, the guys play, I forgot that number. I had it, you know, on my fingertips when I was interviewing him. Guys played only in, what, like 18 games in the last three calendar years, college and professional?
Mm-hmm.
So he's still completely untested, very raw. And for him to say, I'll compete, is awesome. And let's be honest. I mean, you want to talk about a league with the upside at the quarterback position, there aren't many that can just drop back and throw, and that's all they do. I mean, Lance in the Shanahan system, the vaunted Shanahan system, I think would be explosive and very difficult to defend. And we just saw, you know, the Eagles take somebody extremely difficult to defend to the Super Bowl and almost to the podium. So I still think the upside for him is tremendous. And I just really liked seeing him in person and kind of, he was very playful. He seemed really chill. I was very pleased to see that.
Are you among the school of thinkers who believe that the number of quarterbacks who could run Kyle Shanahan's system is remarkably numerous, or do you think there are skills that he requires from his quarterback that make it almost harder to fill?
Interesting question. I mean, I'm not really one of those all 22 types, but you know, Birdie certainly looked real comfortable in it, didn't he? I mean, he was amazing. And when he would come to work, you know, with his book bag, it literally looked like he was going to home ec class, you know. he was unbelievable. So I guess it's one of those quarterback-friendly systems where you don't have to run the football as a quarterback. Matt Ryan won an MVP in the system that he was running. And, you know, Garoppolo really wasn't much of a threat to run either. So, I guess many quarterbacks can really succeed at it, for sure.
So, if you took a step back, Rich, just looking at the Niners as a whole, and obviously you try to win when you have these guys on a rookie deal, how do you view the Niners' window? Because the Niners, they've been in this spot where they are an extremely talented team, Super Bowl ready roster. We keep hearing about this, but they haven't won the big one. What do you think in terms of their window? You have teams that just come out of nowhere, like the Eagles with the Jalen Hurts, and now you got to worry about them. The Cowboys aren't going anywhere, even though people like to joke about the Cowboys. If you're Kyle Shanahan, if you're the Niner fan base, you got to get one of these soon, no?
Well, I mean, yeah, but they're... I mean, it does appear that they're set at so many positions. Lynch is terrific at the job. I think he and Shanahan work really well together. Jed York is thrilled with them. And if there's any, you know, coach, quarter, GM combination that could survive trading multiple first-round picks to move up to take a quarterback who hardly plays a game for him, it's these two, as they've made, you know, NFC championship games, plural, in three of the four years. Last 4 years. And they're just finding so many talented players. I love Fred Warner, Hufanga. You know, their defensive line is beyond stout. They have the defensive player of the year on it. Deebo Samuel is transformative. Kittle is one of my favorite players I've covered and gotten to meet and know in the 20 years with the NFL. I you know, McCaffrey's now there. I think the window's open for a nice long time. They're young and they're physical. Nobody wants to really play them. And the question is what happens when push comes to shove? You know, and in the last two NFC championship games, you know, push came to shove and they got pushed around. And I know, you know, every Niner I spoke to that week, you know, from Lance to Deebo to, you know, Kittle not so much, but they really thought that what happened to Purdy getting knocked out ruined their chances, and thus it really wasn't a fair fight. But the reason why Purdy got knocked out is because the Eagles dominated, eviscerated the line. I mean, that's the fact. So Purdy doesn't get knocked out. As a matter of fact, if he has an extra beat, Ayuk was open on the play in which he hurt his elbow.
Yep.
So they're right there, and if circumstances are different on two championship Sundays, maybe they get one of these Super Bowls. But hey, man, you know, they don't have another one in the case. I get it. But outside of the Chiefs, who has been more consistently returning to Super Bowl form? And there's no other team other than the Niners that you look at right now. The Packers, you know, had years of Aaron Rodgers winning, you know, what he referred to on Pat's show as his COVID MVP years, which I don't know what that means, but, you know, they didn't get there. The Niners did. And that, you know, does count for something. It should, because so many other teams, like, ask the Cowboys, who haven't made one since 1995. So, I know it's frustrating that there's not another one, but I would say, don't you think they're one of the three teams that'll enter next year? Eagles, them, and whoever else might improve their hand, the Rams getting healthy? I don't know. Who would you choose in the NFC next year going in? And I'd be hard-pressed to choose someone other than the Niners.
And finally, before we let you go, and you've been kind to give us as much time as you did, have you reached a level of importance at the NFL Network after all these years where you can make an intern run your 40 for you at the combine?
I don't know, man. I don't intend to try that just yet. You know, I'm not running at the combine this year. It's going to be my third year of not running there. And the reason why it was kind of forced. COVID, as you know, canceled the combine 1 year.
Yeah.
And then the next year, what we wound up doing is because it was impossible to get people to run the 40 with me at the combine, we did it at SoFi Stadium, in an empty stadium, and brought a bunch of NFL legends and hooked them up with some deep-pocketed philanthropists who ran with them, and we raised a ton of money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And a light bulb went over my head saying, if I continue to do this and raise as much money doing it that way and that is also a way to transition. I'm a 53-year-old man, Ray. I don't know how many people want to watch me run at some point, you know? So I think I might have already reached that shark jumping point anyway. But so I'm going to do it in the Rose Bowl again this year. We're going to reach out to the Legends community again and the NFL community of philanthropists again, the Play 60 community, and, you know, celebrate the health of children with me running, but some other people running as well at the Rose Bowl. And then maybe I transition that from now on. But I think my days of running at the Combine are over.
That's a level of cowardice that disappoints us all.
I'm still running. I'm still going to do it. But I have to think long term. I don't want this thing to end just because, you know, I'm going to start running 6.5s because I'm getting up there. You know what I mean?
Well, so, just change your position then. You know, stop pretending you're a running back.
Starting line?
Long snapper.
I could do more things. That's right. I could just take the Wunderlic. You know, I could do that.
Yeah. Well, you could get the intern to take that for you.
That, now you're talking.
I know how to delegate.
Now you're talking, but that may be against the law. I don't know.
Yeah, who's going to prosecute?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, thanks again for your time. You were swell, as always.
You got it.
Enjoy the Combine in whatever form it takes for you. And we will talk to you soon.
It's going to be the form. I mean, four nights starting Thursday. They switched it up. The defensive linemen are going first on Thursday night on NFL Network. And then the defensive backs. And then I do believe it's the quarterbacks on Saturday. So that'll be the big one. And then Sunday will be a last day. Four long days of three cone drills.
And the assistant general managers go on Sunday.
That'll be it. I look forward to it.
Rich Eisen, we looked forward to this. It was grand as always. Enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy the combine, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Take care, gents.
All right.
Adios.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's pretty good.
I think we'll keep him.
Oh, yeah.
I the fact that he has finally admitted that, you know, he's starting to lose a step just indicates to me that, you know, maybe he could do a unicycle.
I was thinking, you know, it's got to be the 40. Maybe just do a 10 or a 20.
I think maybe ride the cart.
Yeah.
Since that's now part of his analysis repertoire.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sick of this. Let's go home.
Let's go home real quick before I let you go. Real quick. Shout out to Xfinity Mobile Text Line, YouTube chat, and the Twitch stream. There you go.
You came this close. I was going to have your car repo. But since you bailed out at the last minute, I'll spare you.
There you go.
Sports don't build character. They build a desire to get the hell out of here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.